Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through about 15 here. Ezekiel 28, 11 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering." These are hard to some to say, so I'll say them the best I can. "The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Now if you would turn to Revelation 12:7. Revelation 12 and verse 7. If you ain't already noticed, you know that we're dealing with Lucifer. We're dealing with what I would call old Slewfoot. We're dealing with Satan, is what we're reading about here tonight. If you found your place in Revelation 12:7, it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God, for our God, day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb," amen, "and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." Now this is still talking about us here, as you'd say, about us here on earth. It says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." And I'll end the reading right there. Got a few more scriptures that goes along, but so like I said, we're dealing with Satan. You know that a lot of people, most of you know this, and some may not, and some need to be reminded. Satan was one of the three, which was called Lucifer at that time, the archangels. You had Lucifer, you had Gabriel and Michael. Now you only have Gabriel and Michael now, the archangels there, because Satan, which was Lucifer, that was his name as the angel. It said that he was perfect in his ways until iniquity abounded in him. Now we know that what you might say pride and a lot of I-ism, me-ism happened to him. He got prideful. He lifted himself above. I could turn in Isaiah, we could read, but for sake of time. But he wanted to lift himself up with God and be like God or even be above God. He got that jealousy. He got the prideful way of telling people, telling the angels, hey, be like someone going and saying, hey, if you'll serve me and not him, I'll give you a raise when I get up there. So he went out and talked to the angels, and he got him what you might call a clique together, got his side. And we know that when God, knowing the heart of everyone, knowing the inner being, he had found this iniquity in him, and we know that there'll be no sin in heaven. So we know that that was a sin in heaven. That's why there had to be a new heaven, and there'll be a new earth. So he cast Satan out. He cast him out. Now, in Matthew, he cast him and the angels, his angels out, which I would call them now the fallen angels, demonic spirits, you might say, that we have dwelling amongst us, along with Satan himself. And in Matthew 25 and 41 says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So see, that's why hell had to be created, was for the devil and his angels. So if one of us was to go to hell, we would be going a stranger. Now, it's definitely a strange land that was created for the devil and his angels. Now, the only thing is with him being the, it says in Ezekiel 28 that he wasn't one of the anointed. It says he was the anointed cherub. And that he was perfect, I said, in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. He was what you might say is God's right-hand man. And he knew God very well. He was one of the three archangels. He was over the praise and worship in heaven. He was the minister of music, Brother Adam, in heaven, as you'd say. And he knows a lot about music. Now that he has been cast out, he is mad at God. He, at this time, he's mad, and he knows that the best way he can get back at God is to destroy God's creation and the lives of his children. And he has had quite a bit of experience in doing so. He's been around for over about 6,000 years, the best I can recollect, and working and doing his mischief. And he knows he has but a short time, because we know that he knows his outcome. But the bad thing about Satan is he's a deceiver and a liar. And he believes his own lies, I believe, sometimes. He even convinces himself that maybe he can change God's plan, I think, sometimes. But he knows he has but a short time to do this. And he knows what God likes. And he knows what God don't like. He knows that the best way to get to God is to get his children. Now, if you want to make me mad enough to fight you, you hurt my children. And I'm a saved individual, and I've been called to preach. But I'm liable to do what seems right in my eyes is whoop you versus anything else. So we know that the children, if you have children, you know that does make you angry when someone lashes or hurts your child. Now we know, and so he knows the best way to get back at God. See, he knew God. He was, like I said, he was God's right-hand man at one time, as you'd say. He knows more about God than anyone, any preacher, any man of God, any prophet that's been on this earth. He knows more. He's got more tactics than anybody to hinder the word of God and to hinder God's work. So I want you to see tonight what I'm going to tell you, what I'm going to preach about is one tactic, pretty well one tactic, even though there's many devices and wiles of the devil. I want to preach on Satan's crafty tactic that God and through the Holy Spirit has directed me to, and let me see. Some of you might say, oh, I didn't know that when I preach this. And you may say, that's no big deal. I didn't know that. But I'm afraid a lot of us, if we know it, we forgot it. And if we ain't, we need to know. Because I tell you, he is crafty. And he knows what he's doing. And he just like we say, hey, God is real. And I'm so glad and I believe that God is real and that Jesus Christ came to seek and save. But on the other hand, there's a Satan. And he's real too. And he'll destroy you in a heartbeat. I've said it before. He'll make liver mush out of you overnight if you'll let him. He'll tear your world apart. He'll rip you into shreds, is what you might say. But to the Christians, the ones that say, I'm a little above that, he won't get me. He won't get me. He may not get you with a liquor bottle. He may not get you down at the bar laying out a church, but he may get you taking a nap at home. He'll tell you there's nothing wrong. You're a little tired. Stay at home, take you a nap. Nothing morally wrong with that. He's crafty. He won't get what I'd call a sincere Christian, maybe with the drugs. He may not even get you one of these sincere men with a woman and turning his eye at a woman. He may not get you that way. But he knows where your weakness is. He knows all about you. You know how I know? He's not everywhere. But he's got devils and nymphs stationed down. Now, he's already got the liquor crowd where he wants them. Hey, and he's got a lot of these dead churches where he wants them. They're on cruise control. He can leave them alone as far as that goes. And they're doing exactly what he wants them to do. They're doing what they want to do. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. That crafty tactic is this. It's not that he wants you to go and do something horrifically wrong, as you might say, a terrible, wicked act. But what he wants you to do is do the right thing in your eyes. Do what's right unto you and not right unto God. Because, see, we know that it says that God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. We can't even understand. Like tonight when I prayed, I don't even know half the time what I need to pray for. See, God knows what's around the next bend. I don't know. God knows what tomorrow brings. I don't know. And like we sang the song, I'm trusting to the unseen hand. And that's who we have to call on. That's who we have to look to. Because Satan will take what he says. Satan himself, and a lot of people might dispute this, but he really don't care what you do as long as you just don't do the will of God as a Christian. He knows the outcome is heaven for you, but he wants to rob you of everything. He wants to tell you you're not even saved. That old song, it says, Satan tells me that I only thought I got saved. He tells me what a fool I have been. But you know what? There's another part that says, but when my mind goes back to that old place where I prayed, I know that I've been born again. Now, we can take that and we can run with that. And he knows we can. He knows that if John Henry's been saved, then ain't nothing to do about it, John. He knows you've been set free. But he can take your joy. But what he wants to do is he wants you to do what's right in your eyes. And Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now that's what the devil does not want you to do. Not trust in the Lord at all, of course. And that's the beginning of being saved. You have to trust in Jesus. So he definitely wants to stop that at all costs. But now you're saved. He's done slip through. You're saved. What he wants to do, he don't want you to lean on God's understanding. He wants you to lean on your own understanding. He wants you to lean on what you see is right in your sight. And really, you know what you've done before. You know how a lot of times you've went headlong into something and made a wreck. You may have purchased a car without even praying, and now find you're in debt head over heels and can't even pay for that, having to struggle and having Brother Darren to have to preach about storms more than he's preaching about salvation and about people being saved. He's having to take all his time to preach on getting out of a storm. And I know we have storms come. A lot of these storms are self-inflicted, I say. A lot of storms that we face are self-inflicted, and it's just nothing but the work of the devil. Now, there's a lot of things that come up on us we cannot help. Sicknesses come. Sicknesses go. People die, and we lose loved ones. But I'm telling you today, my friend, our biggest deal today is self-infliction. It's we're self-inflicting to where that we come to church, and if you look and study about the New Testament church, it wasn't a time for hanging your head down low and having all this stuff in the care. It was about worshiping and praising God. That's what the New Testament church was. And it was about, the preaching was took place outside the doors mainly. Mainly outside as you walked through the streets and walked to people. And then you brought the saved individuals into church. And you had what we call worship service. And that's what it says is worship. But it's got to the point now to where Satan has beat down so many Christians and saying, do it your way. Do it your way and have it your way. And we've worked and worked around with our ways so much that we've left God out of our life. And now we come in the church, and the old saying is, I don't like to hear a preacher that's always condemning and a beating. We've been with the world all week and we want to be lifted up. Well, if you've been with the world all week, now I'm not meaning that you hadn't had to work with them, but if you've run with the world and the filth and all this, you need to be beat on a little bit, looks like. But now if you've done it because of your job, I understand you work amongst them. It says to come out and be separate. We must be separate. But see, Satan will say this. He'll say, see, Satan, he has no agenda for you. He ain't really got no exactly agenda. Some people might say, yes, he does. Well, after you're saved, see, his first agenda is to tell everyone. He don't want to tell the one that's lost that there is no God. He's smarter than that. He's smarter than to tell the people in the Bible Belt, the people around here, that there is, because they'll say, oh, I believe in God. And he's too smart to tell people not to go to church and all this. But what he wants to do is he wants to send them religion and get them caught up in religion. And then they never get saved. They just get religion. But now, I'm talking above that and beyond that. I hope you're not here tonight just with religion. I hope you have a relationship with your religion, not just religion without a relation. But what I'm talking about is going beyond that tonight. We're done saved. I'm talking about we've done saved, Brother Steve. But Satan wants us to go our way. He has no agenda. His agenda is anything but what God would have you to do. I said one thing. He'd soon you stay at the house, take a nap. He'd soon you do anything, even though it may be morally and nothing wrong, what we would say in finding anything morally wrong and that the law would be able to write you out a ticket or arrest you for. But it's not what God wants you to do. You could be as clean as a hound's tooth, what I'd say. You might be a deacon here. Or a deacon might be listening by the way of internet. You may be a deacon. You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be just as clean as what we'd say a life is a hound's tooth. But you're not fulfilling what God would have you to do. And Satan's pleased with that. Satan's pleased. That clean life don't bother him. That clean life don't bother him just because you are morally living right and that you take your little Bible and carry it to church every now and again. That don't bother him much for you as a Christian. That's normal. But see, what bothers him is when you start going beyond that clean life and living a set apart, sanctified, you might say, trying to lead people to Christ, trying to do the will of God, whatever it may be. God has a plan for every life. Every saved individual, God has got a plan for you, whether you want to agree with it or admit it or not. And it's not just to fill the pew. I've heard people say that to me, that mind you, now if you get bad sick and all you can do is we roll you in here or we set you up, that's a little different. But you know what? You've still got a mouth to pray. You've still got your mind hopefully correct that you can pray and call out to God as a prayer warrior. But see, he has no agenda. He just wants you to do your own thing. And he does not care what you do as long as you do not do the will of God. And see, we're bad to think just because I go to church we're in good shape. Now, that's we do. We're bad to think just because I've did this and that I'm okay. And see, the devil just sits back and smiles. He says, I'm getting them right where I want them. They're doing what they seem right in their eyes. Now, with that being said, you know, over in the book of Judges, God's judgment fell just because these people was doing what every man seen right in his own eyes. It says, because every man did what was right in his own eyes, judgment fell. Now, you and I was talking to a cousin, I'll just say, and he had supposedly called on the Lord and got saved. And he was trying to get in a church, and I invited him here. He came, but he didn't stay. I seen him again, and I said, talk to him. I said, why didn't you go? I just don't think that's where I need to be. I said, well, then that's exactly where you need to be. He said, what do you mean? I said, because how can you discern where you need to be this quick? You're just a babe in Christ. And I know what goes on at Bethel. It's a soul-winning, saving station. It's an uplit spirit, Holy Ghost-filled place. And I said, you tell me one good reason why you shouldn't be here. Tell me a good godly reason where God led you out of there. He couldn't think of one. I know why. Satan said, oh, yeah, you're saved. And you do need to be in church. But don't go up there. That's too big. And they preach pretty hard up there on sin and on all these things. And, well, of course, you need to go to church. But just go on down the road and find you one that you like and what seems good to you. You're your own self. You have to make your own decision. And see, I hear that all the time. They say, I'm my own self. Hey, I got to do, no, sir, no, ma'am. If you've been saved and born again, you're bought with the precious blood of Jesus. You're no longer your own. You're His. And that's just the way that it is. I can't help it. You're the one that got saved. You're the one that called upon Him, needed a Savior, and I did too. But you know what? We got to go God's way. Now you can choose to go the devil's way and your way. And the old song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's what the devil don't want you to do. He don't want you to trust and obey. He wants you to do what you want to do. How many times have you ever went out and tried to, well, I'd say try to witness to people and try to talk to someone, and then you get talking about maybe something that hits them, whether it's drinking, whether it's a foul mouth, whether it's just laying out a church, whether it's just whatever. And they say, I don't see nothing wrong with that. It ain't about what you see wrong with that. It's about what God sees wrong with that and what God finds fault with that. It ain't about what you see. Because, Brother Bobby, we're wrong, brother, ain't we? A lot of times we get it wrong. We have to seek God's will in our life. And see, Satan will have you to say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with taking a little social drink, didn't I? Did you know that alcohol in 1 ounce is poison? Did you know that any time you drink alcohol, even if it is medicine, it's the alcohol itself in anything, the alcohol itself, it's poison. And how many of you would let and gather up a bunch of rattlesnakes and bring them into your house and set them out? That's what you're doing when you're bringing in filth in your home of Satan, whether it be on the television. See, he don't care what you watch as long as it ain't something about Jesus and about lifting him up. He don't care what you listen to as long as it ain't about Jesus. Now, I could stammer around on this for a while, but now, music, and I'll just give you a personal deal. Darren's talked about his personal deal with the mudflaps, about the Yosemite Sam mudflaps that said, back off, had the pistols drawn. And he said the Lord smote his heart and said, you need to get rid of those mudflaps, because how does that look in a funeral procession when you're going down behind, you know, the hearse or whatnot, and the family's back there with, back off? Well, that was a personal conviction. And I understand it was a personal conviction, but... And not long ago, a personal conviction came to me, and I'll share it with you. I was driving, it's been about 5 years ago. Now, I did listen to what I would say secular music for a long time. I listened, I mixed and matched, as you might say. I listened to a lot of gospel. I listened to a lot of bluegrass gospel, but I was bad to turn my country on pretty regular. And one day, going down the road in my driveway, I had the three boys in the truck, and Chase was real small. And I'm driving, and I'd flipped it on one of those country stations, and it was playing one of those country songs. And as I was going down the driveway, the Lord, he said, is that uplifting me in any way? And I just said, no, Lord. He said, do you condone that kind of lifestyle that guy's singing? No, Lord. He said, does your boys know that? Are you setting a good example? And I said, no, Lord. And I turned it off. And by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, I've not turned that back on no more. Now, I've been in the grocery stores. I've been in elevators. I've been in other people's vehicles and things that are playing secular music. And I don't lash out at them. I don't look at them and say, turn that blessed stuff off. But God told me what to do with it. Turn it off. And see, the devil don't care if I listen to anything secular as long as I don't listen to what God wants me to listen to. As long as I don't listen to what God, and that's the deal, if that music that you're listening to, if it's not what God would want you to listen to, it ain't because I said it, because I'm not the final authority. God is. You do what he says for you to do. And if you get close to God, I guarantee you, the closer you get to the Lord, you will shed things of this world. You can't help it. It'll come off of you. Just like my coat would come off if I took it off now. You'll shed them. A lot of people looks at things differently in a period of time. That old saying that we're a new creature in Christ, not only are we a new creature when we're saved, we should be a new creature just every little bit. Growing for the Lord's sake. And as you grow, you'll get rid of these things. And see, Satan don't have no agenda. He don't care where you go to school, young person. Now, I know most of our young people's over there, but mom or daddy, if you're listening, he don't care where your kids go to school as long as they don't go where God wants them to go. He don't care where they go to work or where you go to work as long as it ain't where God wants you to work. He don't care, like I said, he'll even scoot up to you as so much to be your friend, because he is an angel of light. And look how he done Eve. He didn't go to Eve and tell her to do something bad. Oh, do this wicked thing. He actually told her to do a good thing. You're going to be like God. You're going to know as much as God. You'll know about good and evil. You won't have to worry and fret about it no more. See, he told her to do something good. So see, it looked like it'd be good. And I'm sure she went, why, yeah, Adam, good night. If we eat that, why shouldn't we? See, I don't see nothing wrong with eating it. And see, that's the deal. He don't have no agenda. He don't care where you work. He don't even care where you live, as long as you don't live where God wants you to live. Now, I might step on toes, but I can't help it. I want to hit you hard. I don't know. A lot of people that take off and live in Florida, and I mean take off, if they've went because God wanted them to go, a number one. But if you go just because of the environment and because of selfish reasons, I'm here to tell you, it ain't right. I don't care if I'm the one headed down. You tell me the same. So you preached on it, bud. If you're taking off for any other reason than for God sending you, if it's selfish, that's what Satan will do. Just like an individual that may get a job. I said he don't care where you work as long as you don't work where he wants you to. You take someone that gets a promotion. God may not even want them to work there to start with. I don't know. That's between him and God. But I've had people tell me that they're moving away from here. They got a promotion. And I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Now, this is Christian people. I'm not talking about lost. I said, so God's dealing with you about going. They're like, huh? No. I didn't got a promotion. No. God didn't deal with me about it. I said, so what would be different if a man was going to a church and his pastor got up one Sunday and said, I'm leaving next week, going down so-and-so down the road. And somebody says, well, preacher, we've always said if God moved you, then we'd back and we'd be glad for you, and God will work it out. So God tell you to do this, preacher? No, I just got a better offer down the road. Just got a bigger church and more money. What would be the difference? What's the difference for the man of God to take off and us holler and scream, I can't believe he done that. He done that for the money. He done that just for selfish reasons. I can't believe it. But there again, you get a promotion. You're headed out. Dollars. See, Satan don't care where you go as long as you go where God don't want you to go. Satan don't care what you listen to. Satan don't even care how you dress as long as you dress in a way that God would not be pleased. Now, I don't hit on that. I never have hit on what you are. But you know when the Holy Ghost tells you, I wouldn't wear that. I had a Texas Roadhouse shirt, a T-shirt. Now, it don't even say Bar and Grill on it. And that is a place. But it says this, there's nowhere else but Texas Roadhouse, something about that. The Holy Spirit wouldn't even let me wear that outside. I had to do away with that thing. Now, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do, but you've got to listen. You've got to listen, because Satan's whispering in this other ear, do as you please, do what you want. It don't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the inside that counts. That's straight out of hell. You tell me it don't matter what you look. Now, I don't mean because you get up and preach and you can't say something if you're wearing blue jeans, but I mean this. You wear some crazy, foul, I don't even know what the word to be, just some filth of a T-shirt. And you call yourself a Christian. You tell me God don't think nothing about what you wear on the outside. What's people see? The people can't see the inside. But see, Satan's always using everything against God. It don't matter what you do as long as your heart's right. It don't matter what you serve as long as you're, you know, if you're just true to what you believe. If you'll just be true and be faithful to come in and out, it don't matter what else you do. And he don't have no agenda. And I tell you something else that he don't have. Satan don't have no church. Satan don't have a church. So you know what he does? He wants to give you many choices. Now, he wants to snuggle up close to you. He don't have one. He goes to all of them. But what he wants to do with you is he wants to give you a lot of choices in which church to go to. He gives people a lot of choices. So see, he's being your friend because he gets that menu of churches out on you. He don't care what church you go to as long as you don't go to where God wants you to go. He don't care if you go down the road to where the preacher don't never preach on hell, and he don't never preach on the judgment. All he preaches is love, love, love. And we know God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath and judgment. And there's hell to pay for the sinner that's never saved. And there's only not only that, but the wages of sin is death. And the wages is not just sin and death for the one that's lost, but there's a sin for us Christians unto death. The Lord's working on a message with me. I call it the three B's. It's about the chastening hand of the Lord. I call it, first, he'll bother you. He'll bother you in your sin. Then he'll break you in your sin. And if that don't do it, he'll bury you in your sin. That's what he'll do. And that's real. And see, stuff like that needs to be preached. If all of us as Christians, if we could do the will of God and seek his will and not worry about all our little selfish things, we'd have one of the greatest revivals we'd ever been known to man. And I tell you, we got a revival scheduled coming up. And if we'll start doing the will of God, if we'll start praying and letting the Lord direct us, and if he tells you to go talk to your neighbor, go talk. If he tells you to go somewhere and pray, go pray. If he tells you to quit your job because he's got, you better quit it. If he tells you to move from this church, if God Almighty tells you to leave Bethel, I hope he don't. But if he does, and it's him, you better leave. Same for Brother Darren. As much as I love my pastor to death, if God tells him he's through, he better mosey on down the road. If God says he's through. Because Satan might say, stay. Just stay there. But see, it's about what the Lord wants and not about what we want. It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants in our life. And I told you, Satan didn't have no agenda and he don't have no church. Just go to any one of them. I'm bad when I witness to people. I try not to just direct them to any church. Because I'll have to, as sad as I hate to say it, I feel like there's not enough power in some churches to convict a gnat. And I've been in a lot of them since I've been called to preach. And they look at you like a cow starting a new gate most of the time. Won't even amen the preacher at all. And I know it ain't just about amening, but you can feel that in there. You can feel that. And I tell you, I'm afraid. That's the reason I don't just say, well, you just go to a church of your choice. See, that's bad. It's been said. It's wrote in a lot of things. I've even seen it on a track. Now that you've been saved and you called on God, now go to a Bible, to a church of your choice. Uh-uh, honey. You don't go to your choice. You better go where God takes you to. Did you know I didn't want to come to Bethel 4.5 years ago? I didn't want to go. I said what I said a while ago, too big. It wasn't because of the spiritual realm, because I love the Holy Ghost, brother. That's what got me. But I thought, well, that's too big, and this and that. And you know, look at everybody in there wearing suits, and here I am wearing one tonight. I seen them on the porch, a bunch of them out there dressed up, and I said, oh, that's a big, sophisticated church. See, that's what the devil told me. The devil told me to pick my church. You just pick your church. Well, I didn't pick it. God led me here. I got up in the woods, and I went to praying about it specifically. God, where would you have me to go? And he opened the door wide open. The first night I came here and got in on a service, seen 4 saved. Darren about tore the pews out of running across them. I run around here. I was wore out that night. We had a time. And not only just had a time, but seen 4 saved, I said. And I said, good deal. But see, Satan didn't want me here, Brother Floyd. And Satan don't want you here. He don't want you to see all this salvation. He don't want you to see people standing up and praising God and giving a testimony about their cars and about their sicknesses. Because if he does, somebody might get a little help from God. Somebody might get saved. Somebody might get convicted and say, you know what? I don't think I got what they got. And I need it. See, Satan, he's not dumb. He'll put you in some little old limp-wristed church where they ain't got no backbone at all, and he preaches out of the Reader's Digest. That's where he wants you. That is. That's where Satan wants you. He's comfortable if you can get in there. He not only knows he ain't got no church and he gives you a pile of choices, he ain't got no Bible neither. You know what, Brother Steve? Satan ain't got no Bible. He ain't. Now, people says, well, wait a minute, he does. These other prefer. No, that's not his. What he's done is he's gave us a whole bunch of choices. That's what he's done. He ain't got no Bible, and he wants you to have it, but he wants you to make sure that he wants to buddy up to you and give you plenty of choices. He wants to give you everything but the inspired Word of God, which I call the King James Version. Now, people can get mad at that and say an old fogey if you want to, whatever you want to call it. Say you're a King Jameser. But that's what the devil have you to believe, that that's what I am. See, that's what the devil, that's what you think about me. That's what you think. But see, I know there's power in the King James Bible. How many knows there's power in that book? I know there's power in that book. And see, I've even done a little bit of investigating on the other books, bad as I hated to. And there was one lady who was a prostitute on the streets in Chicago. And these preachers had been out witnessing, and one man went out and he had the NIV Bible. I'll just tell you what he had. And he gave this lady one. She had it for about 2 years. Another preacher man run into her, old-fashioned Holy Ghost sent preacher, I call him, had the King James Bible. He walked into the same lady, still doing the same profession, a prostitute, witnessed to her again on the streets of Chicago. All year, she said, you're just like the other ones that comes. He said, here, ma'am, I want to give you a Bible. And he told her about Jesus and gave her a Bible. She said, I've got a whole drawer full of them. He said, well, ma'am, would you please take this one? He didn't know what she had. Well, 2 months later, she's reading this King James Bible, reading in the book of John, and reading in Romans where he told her to read. And you know what happens? She gets under conviction and gets saved. And now she's got a testimony about these other Bibles. She said, I had the NIV, she named a pile. And she said, I had read through those different times. She said, I never felt the power like this Bible had when I opened it up. She said, something just got a hold of me. Now, friend, that's a real deal. And that's a testimony. And I will stand up for the King James Bible. I will stand for the English people. So see, Satan don't care what Bible you use, as long as you don't use the one that's inspired and Holy Ghost filled. I got up one place, was going to preach, and I told him, I said, you know what I've got tonight? I said, I've got the true living Bible. They looked at me like, uh-oh. And see, this was a King James place. I said, I do have the living Bible. It's the King James, the only living Bible they are. And they said, amen, amen. I had them a little confused at first. But see, Satan don't have no Bible. He don't have no... I'll tell you something else Satan don't have neither. He don't have no salvation plan for you. He don't have no salvation plan. You know what he'll tell you? I got a few things wrote down. I'm kind of scatterbrained at times, so I'll make a few notes, not many. But I'll tell you what he'll tell you. He'll tell you, yeah, you need to be saved. He ain't got no plan, but he gives you a lot of choices because he wants you to make your decision, right? He wants you to make it. He says, would you like works salvation? That's a good one. Here. Would you like to be baptized salvation? Here, be baptized. Would you like to take the sacraments as these old Catholics? Would you like to take some of that? Oh, that'll get you in. Would you like to take communion? Come to a church service and take communion? Oh, that'll get you for sure. Would you like to just become a member of a church? Hey, there you go. That'll get you in. He don't care how you profess that you're saved, as long as you don't come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He knows once you go through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're sealed until the day of redemption. He knows it himself. It's a shame a lot of people can't get a hold of that. He knows when we're set free. But see, he ain't got no salvation plan for you. His salvation is do what you want, get saved how you want. You don't have to live for Christ all the time. You can just live any way you want, and you can be baptized. I don't know how many people I ask, have you been saved? Oh, yeah, I've been baptized. I say, that ain't what I ask you. And I've asked them, are you saved? Oh, I've been up at so-and-so church, Baptist church, ever since I was this big. And I said, well, that's great, but I want to know if you're saved. And they'll say, well, I told you, I've been there all my life. I've even had them get mad. And I was like, now listen, that ain't what I'm asking you. Was there ever a personal encounter with Jesus Christ? And they can't tell you. See, the devil sold them saying, get saved how you want to. Do what you want to do and be saved. Now tonight, as I've talked about this, you think about, I'll tell you some people that's made their decisions that was Christians. Lot. Lot made his own choice, didn't he? We know where he went with his choice. Samson made his own choice too, didn't he? Dead, wasn't he? The wages of sin is death, wasn't the end, wasn't it? Even though he went to heaven. You know, even King David made his choice not to be in the battle, Brother Floyd. Not to be in the battle. And I believe as Christians, we're either to be on the battlefield or the harvest field. It's one or the other. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. When you're in between limbo, the devil will take you and run as far as he can. And that's what he did with King David. So see, he told King David, oh, just lay here in bed. You need to rest. You're a king. You don't need to be out on the battlefield. And we know where it got him with Bathsheba. I ain't got time to go into that. But see, that doing what he wanted to do caused him a lot of grief and pain and agony. And I tell you, if you're not careful, you'll do what you want to do. Now, I might hit home a little here with myself. See, I like to deer hunt, Brother Danny. I like to fish. Wayne, I like to do things. I mean, we like to watch football games. We like to do things. I like to watch sports. I like to have fun. I do. And Satan don't care how much fun you have. He likes to see you smiling and having fun on it as long as you're putting it before God. Now see, you can turn something, I preached that message, Seek You First. Now you can take something good and turn it into something bad that quick. And I'm not telling you to have to quit everything. I'm not telling you to quit your job tonight and all and quit ever going out and having any fun. But you got to be careful, because if Jeff was in here, and one day I remember me and Jeff was going to go fishing. We'd planned it out to go fishing. And the Lord dealt with me. And I'm not trying to lift me up. I'm just telling you the facts. I think I need to tell what happens. It helps people to know real life. We was going to go fishing for fish. And God dealt with my heart and said, I'll let you go. I will let you go fishing. He spoke to me. He said, but I would rather you went fishing for men during that same time. There's some people I need you to see. Well, I called Jeff up, and Jeff, he had no problem with it. He said, yeah, I'll go with you. And we went out and fished for men instead of fish. But see, I could have went fishing. I could have turned that thing then that's so good that God's blessed me with into something bad that quick and went against the will of God. And Satan would have been pleased. See, Satan don't care if you fish. Satan don't care if you play football. He don't care about all, but he just wants you to do it what you see is right. Why, there's nothing wrong with missing church for one little old game. They're this young once. That's what Satan have you to believe. But did you know, if you ask God and talk to God, could you honestly say that you'd talk to the Lord and the Holy Spirit said it is okay for you to miss church? And for some of these churches that are calling church off on Sunday nights and not even having but one service, I wonder who told them to do that. Don't you ever wonder who told them to do that? I guarantee you it wasn't the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you God would not tell anybody to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He says, forsake not. And even so much more in this day and time, the devil knows that it's time to close. Why don't we do something? He's doing something. So, as I said tonight, it ain't about what you want to do, whether that hits you hard or not. Everybody says, well, that just ain't my cup of tea. Well, I don't care if it's your cup of tea or not. I care if it's God's cup of tea. That's what we got to care about. If it's God's cup of tea in our life. And we don't need to be so selfish and self-centered. But it's about what God would have you to do. Because I'm telling you, folks, at first thought, you better back up and think again. You better consider God in all things. Snort one little pill. Do whatever. It won't hurt you. And the next thing you know, you'll be babysitting for the devil. He'll have you hooked. He'll have you staying at home babysitting for him. And we just need to be careful, because I tell you this story in closing. There was a man on a trip on a train going out west before they ever had vehicles. He was riding this train. They were sitting at a big round table, him and two other men, and talking, and had his hands down by the chair. And another gentleman walks up and says, how about it, fellas? You just want to play a round of poker? And the other gentleman says, well, sure, we'll play. This guy, he looks and says, sir, I sure would like to, but I can't. Oh, really? He says, I don't have no hands. And see, he's sitting at a table, and the guy can't see him. He says, oh, I'm sorry. I understand. I'm sorry. I apologize for even asking you why. He said, oh, I see you're crippled. The guy didn't tell him. But they began to play the poker game. A few minutes later, there was somebody brought him a glass of water. And this gentleman that just said he didn't have no hands reached up and got a drink of water. And the guy that asked him said, "Hey, wait a minute, sir. You told me you didn't have no hands. What are you doing? You do have hands as good as mine." He said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "These hands are not my hands. They were bought with a price. 2 years ago, I was at my lowest point, and God came by. And he said he saved me. And he said, now I'm no longer my own. I belong to Christ. And I would like to play poker with you, sir. I used to play it many times, but I can't because these are not my hands." Now that's the way we need to look at it in life. Is if you're on that computer looking at filth, if you're on the television watching filth, if you're listening to filth, you've got to realize it's not your hands no more. It's not your eyes no more. It's not your mouth no more. It's not your legs to be carrying you to the places you shouldn't go no more. They belong to God if you want to get down to the water. You belong to God if you've been saved. And if you've never been saved, you're of your father, the devil, and hell awaits you until you call on Jesus. What's the song says? Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Would you come up here and play that, just soft on that? And tonight, and in closing, that's the invitation is, if you want the Lord to have his own way and quit running with Satan and listening to him and pleasing him and start pleasing God. Because, hey, I don't believe there's a one of you in here tonight that intends to be a friend of Satan. And we'll just admit that I want to please Satan. I want to please God. And I tell you, but I'm afraid that a lot of times seeking our ways and doing our ways, the devil just stands back and smiles while God sits up with tears in his eyes, wanting us just to do what he wants to do. Seek him out first and to seek the will of God. Because Satan, his crafty tactic of this is do what you want to do. That's what the Satanist even says. If you will, come to the altar tonight and just get out here, and I'm going to pray in a moment, we'll close out, that Satan would not have his way with Christians. That Satan wouldn't have his way with us. I talked to a Satanist not long ago, a man that professed in satanic worshiper. He told me, he said, "It ain't that I believe in Satan, and I don't even believe in the devil." He said, "I don't believe there's such a thing as the devil or God." And he said, "But in the role that I play, in the role that I play of being a Satanist, what I do is I am like the devil. I'm like Satan. I do what I want to do. I'm not going to let one man, his name is Jesus, dictate the way that I live," is what the Satanists say. So see, anytime we're living out of the will of God and doing what thou wilt, as that old devil song says, then we're doing what the devil would have us to do and not what the Lord would have us, and we're pleasing Satan. Lord, we come to you tonight, God, and we thank you, Lord, for all your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we need to realize that we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And God, I pray that it would just get in our hearts and stir, that God, when we go out to speak and to do, that we would realize that we're God's. We're not of ourselves. We need to hold up ourselves as a Christian and not to hinder the gospel, not to let Satan have his way in our life. And knowing, God, that our hearts are wicked and there's no good thing in us, God, and that we need to seek God in all things and not turn. Like it says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. It don't even say the devil's way. Going our own way, if the devil can just get us to go our own way, that's enough in itself. So God, we pray that you'd help us and send the Holy Spirit. Lord, let him just take up and possess our bodies like we would say that a demon would possess someone. Let the Holy Spirit in us possess us and lead us and guide us into good things, and to people who might be saved, that the church would be lifted up And most of all, that you would get honor and glory out of each and every life, God. We thank you, we praise you. If there be one here tonight that's never been born again, I pray that they can't rest, God, till they call on you. I pray they cannot even lay down without thinking about Jesus. And he's the wonderful Savior. We thank you and we praise you for this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.